I have always said that Spain is a predominantly red wine producer. And to some people, that comes as a surprise, but it shouldn't because Spain is undoubtedly more associated with red wine than white, even though it makes a lot of white wine and it makes a lot of very good white wine. And we've talked about some of it in other episodes, and we've even featured a famous white wine region called Rueda and its excellent white wine made from the Verdejo grape. But that region is fairly recent in terms of fame. And before that, as I was saying, even though there was a lot of white wine out there, not a lot was known about Spanish white wine in general. At least it didn't get a lot of attention. But that all changed when a wine called Albariño came along. Albariño is a wine grape variety which is almost exclusively associated with one part of Spain, Galicia, which is in the northwest. And not just any part, but basically the southwest part of Galicia, all the way down close to and around the border with Portugal. So to make this more confusing, it's sort of the southwest part of the northwest of Spain. The vines there are traditionally mounted on vine arbors, which are known as parras in Spain, Parras in plural. These are structures which are granite support posts that rise up above the ground, and then at the top you have this network of wires that connect them all together. And then the vines, the way they characteristically do, go up the posts and then they move along the wires and the leaves come out and the bunches of grapes, the grape bunches come out and form. And basically what you get is a canopy of grapevines stretching over the vineyard. And it looks really nice, beautiful in the summer months. It's also cool if you're trying to get out of the sun. It has that classic old world feel to it. And there's a reason behind this. This is done as a preventive measure to combat the dampness of the ground because Galicia has a very wet climate in general. It rains a lot, or at least it rains a lot more than in other parts of Spain. And this is one of the ways the farmers keep away that wetness, that dampness from the different types of fruit and vegetables. And in this case, grapes. And Albariño is one of them. It's quite sensitive to mildew and rot. So you see all these traditional parras. Probably in the more modern parts of the region, you will see vineyards that are using vine trellising, which is a much more common sight you see around the world. The vineyards themselves are generally not very big because the farms are small. This has to do with the traditional way the land was divided within families over the generations. It's called minifundio. So for a long time, production was quite limited. And if you wanted to have a chance to try a real Albariño, you had to go up to Galicia, because otherwise you just weren't going to find it anyplace else. The history of this wine goes back a long way. The origin of Albariño as a variety is unknown. It once was thought to be from somewhere in Central Europe, but that has now been ruled out. And though there isn't 100% consensus on this point, the predominant thinking these days is that it is probably native to the land, to Galicia and Portugal, where the majority of the production is found today. The wine grew in popularity, at least locally, during the rise of the Camino de Santiago during the Middle Ages. Probably the monks had something to do with that. And then in the 19th century, much of the production took place on the properties of the wealthy landowners. These homes were known as pazos, Pazos, or manors. While the majority of this region, especially in the countryside, suffered from poverty, these estates led a better life and were able to devote their time and money to better wines. But as I was saying, production was limited. There wasn't a lot for a wider public. I remember friends from there, friends who were old enough to remember saying you just couldn't find it anywhere, and in Madrid it was almost impossible to get because it had a reputation for traveling poorly. In other words, the wine was too unstable for the long distance drive from all the way up in the corner of Spain to the center. At least that's what they would say. By 1980, a decision was made to formalize the region, and at first they called it Dio Alvarinho. But that proposal was reversed on the grounds that you can't make the name of a grape variety the name of an official geographical wine region. So they had to come up with something else. And in 1988, it became Rías Baixas, which is Galician, the language that's spoken up there, for lower inlets or lower estuaries. In fact, Rías Baixas is the name for the geographical area in that southwest corner of Galicia that I was telling you about, and it's the name in general. So anyway, it gets the name Rías Baixas, even though basically everyone thinks of Alvarinho more than the name of the region. And in fact, that's still true today. As I said, even though it's called Rías Baixas, no one ever orders a Rías Baixas at a bar. I've never done it in all my years here. This is somewhat unusual because in most other parts of Spain, or when you're talking about most other wine regions in Spain, you normally order by the region. In other words, you'll order a Rioja or a Ribera del Duero or a Toro or a Valdepeñas. You rarely, at least in the past, would order by the grape variety. And this is different from the way it's done in a lot of other countries where people normally order by the variety. That too is starting to change in Spain, but I'll have to tell you about it in a different episode. Anyway, in Galicia in general, but especially in the case of Alvarinho, well, that's what people did, and they still do. So when you're at a bar or restaurant in Spain, order an Alvarinho, not a Rías Baixas. They may understand what you're talking about, but don't be surprised if your server doesn't. Anyway, the wine region was originally subdivided into three traditional areas where the grape was grown and the wine was made. Two regions are El Rosal and Condado de Tella. They are classic subregions. They sort of lie along the border with Portugal, and they are mostly Alvarinho, but they are blended with other white grapes. For example, El Rosal also has another grape variety called Treixadura, and Condado has another type called Douradeiro, and there might be some other combinations there. Now, the big producer in Rías Baixas is a sub-region called Val do Salnés, which is an area in and around a beautiful town called Cambados. Here, it is almost exclusively Alvarinho, mostly 100% varietal, and it is by far the largest subzone producer of Alvarinho in the entire DO. You have a smaller zone called Sotomayor, but its contribution is minimal. And then you have the most recent to join the pack. It's an area called Ribeira de Ulla, which is a little bit further north around Santiago de Compostela. It's not a traditional Alvarinho area, but they are doing. And the wines have a little bit more body to them, so production's going on there too. The increased size of the DO has meant an increase in the production, and that has helped to give it greater presence in Spain and abroad. To give you an idea of what we're talking about, back in 1991, the DO produced just about 2 million liters of wine, which is not that much. It may sound like a lot to some of you, but it really isn't. And it exported about 70,000 liters, which is next to nothing. So remember what I was telling you about how limited production was? Well, that was 1991, and the region had already been established a few years before that. Well, imagine trying to find Alvarinho wines in the 60s and 70s. It would have been even less common. But nowadays, it is producing up to 30 million liters a year, and exports are close to 10 million. So the change has been dramatic. By the way, just a quick side note, Dio Rías Baixas also makes a very small amount of red wine made from local red grapes like Caíño, and Bronceau. They're very interesting red wines. I like them a little bit more acidic, so some people might be put off by that, but I find them very interesting and enjoyable wines. But those are probably ones you're going to have to go to Galicia to find for the most part. Anyway, Albariño itself is a dry white wine. It can be quite aromatic. It is also acidic and can be a little bit more bitter than most Spanish white wines. And that's because the grape itself is really small. It has a thick skin and also has the seed. And so that will contribute to a little bit more bitterness to the wine. So just be aware of that. It's also crisp, and that goes very well with shellfish and seafood in general, which is one thing Galicia is very famous for. And in terms of the price, well, as far as white wines go, traditionally Albariño was always a little bit pricier than others. I think it had to do with its smaller production. So years ago, it was really sort of a special occasion wine. I think with greater production, that difference isn't as noticeable as it was before. They're still fairly reasonably priced. So anyway, this is a truly great and elegant white wine, and certainly one deserving of the fame that it has. If you haven't tried Albariño from Rías Baixas, I highly recommend you do. And that will be all for this episode of Let's Open a Bottle, the podcast, the story of Spain's wine revolution. We hope you've enjoyed it. Please feel free to send us any comments or questions because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and Castos. Or if you wish to support Brian Spain Domain, we'd greatly appreciate it. We work very hard to provide you with the very best information about Spain, Spanish history, and Spanish culture. You can do so by clicking on our PayPal donate button. Or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us regularly, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. Cheers, or salud, as they say in Spain. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.